Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Big day here in Philadelphia, that's for sure. Did the mayor jinx us or what? We're going to find out. Trump's nominees head to the Senate this week, including Tulsi Gabbard and Bobby Kennedy. And soon, President Trump will speak to Republican House members in Florida. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. It is our it is our 5 o'clock happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. I'm so excited to feel good again because I think I'm on the other side of the staph infection now. I just got ahead of myself and skipped an entire hour of the show. But actually, unfortunately tonight, and I know it's going to hurt you more than it hurts me, but we are done at 6 o'clock tonight because there is Penn State basketball game. So I know, it's going to be tough. Having to have dinner with the kids and everything tonight. But I'll manage. I'm sorry about that. It's not my fault. Do our best, though, to make this next hour count, including 30 minutes of nonstop talk brought to you by our friends at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. So, you know what makes me happy, first of all? It makes me happy that J.D. Vance brought his A game on Sunday and crushed it on the shows. He really did. I mean, the guy is just a beast. He's a beast, and he doesn't back down, and that's exactly what we need, is we need somebody to give back to these people. We shouldn't run from going on the corporate media. We should just fight them back, because otherwise they're going to dominate airwaves that people may not necessarily be exposed to another alternative. You have to realize something. There's a big segment of this country that doesn't have cable. I know it sounds crazy, but it's true. There's also a big part of this country that doesn't really stream people like me or other thought leaders. They still, I know it's crazy, but they still tune into ABC, CBS, and NBC. So we can either retreat from that landscape entirely, or we can push back on that, and we can say, we're going to bring the fight to them. And that's the question. And it makes me happy they're bringing the fight to them. And this is going to make you happy. So Jimmy Buffett Tribute Weekend at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, February 28th through March 2nd, 2023. And they have an incredible package, which includes your room, includes a buffet, Buffett dinner, right? Dancing and all kinds of great things. Drinks, luau, all kinds of fun stuff. It's the last weekend in February. Great way to end the winter blues and kick off March. Just go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com and get your tickets. It will sell out, GrandHotelCapeMay.com. So J.D. Vance brought the thunder, but before I go to him, I want to go to our buddy in Chestnut Hill, Greg, who's been patiently holding, in the Northeast. Greg, how are you?
I'm great, Rich. How are you?
Good issue in Chestnut Hill. How you doing, buddy?
Good. You have a lot of your listeners and a lot of people who you call in are from Chestnut Hill, so they're all up here. All your good people. So
good people.
The funniest thing you said was when you said Cheryl Parker. We were talking about this with my family the other day. We didn't know she was going to, you know, jinx us, but we were saying she should run with this and have this as a routine, and that would she would ingratiate herself with more Philadelphians than already know who she is as the mayor, because it's making fun of yourself.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Nothing ingratiates anyone more than when you laugh at yourself. She could have been a star. Now, she's a lovely person, but she could have had a whole different group of people that would have loved her for it. And then she could have taken credit for it. She said, because of me, we won the Super Bowl. There were so many options she had. You know what I mean? You were right. And your vast knowledge of sporting is crazy. You and Pierre Robert from the radio station. You guys and your sports are magnificent, by the way.
Thank you. I'm honored to hear you say that. It's a big compliment. Greg, thank you, buddy, for the call. And you have a great day, my man. I appreciate it.
Well, hold on. One more thing, Rich.
Go ahead. Yeah.
When you talked to Justin and his sidekick, the elitist, Harvard elitist, sound exactly alike. So I think to play a trick, I think you should have Justin call his fake girlfriend and, you know, set something up on the air to see if this is true or not. That is one way you're going to find out.
And Matt sound the same? Because most people think Matt sounds like a 13-year-old girl. So you're saying Justin sounds like that too?
When you pick the phone up, if you call him on the phone, if you don't know who's the call screener, you don't know if Matt's picking it up this time or Justin. For the first 5 seconds, I don't know who the hell I'm talking to. So when I talk to them, I just told them that. So you should say, Matt, you better watch out. Tell your fake girlfriend someone may be calling. So get a burner phone, brother. That's the only way you're going to be able to get away with this.
That's great advice. I think you should listen to him, Matt. I'm just saying. And Justin, I apologize. I mean, that's just rude. You don't deserve that. Nobody deserves that.
He sounds like him. I'm sorry. Maybe not after 10 seconds, but for the first 9 seconds, he said they sound alike. Sorry.
Well, Kirk, we got a new poll for the YouTube chat. Thank you, Greg. Do Matt and Justin sound alike? Let's put up a poll, shall we?
Do we sound alike? I don't. There's no way we sound
alike.
Absolutely
not. I don't
hear it, but Greg hears it so bad.
In Greg's defense, I will say there are several people who call in when I start screening their call that they think I'm Matt. So he's not the only person that is calling in and saying that. I don't know where they get that from. I don't know how they get that. But he's not the only one, so I will give Greg that.
Well, there are worse things to be compared to in life. Not many, but there are worse things, some. But, you know, he's not wrong, though. Cheryl Parker should own this. She would be on national television right now owning this. And if she came out and doubled down on spelling the word Eagles wrong as a joke and making fun of herself, he's right, and saying, I can't jinx the team now, it's E-L-G-L-E-S, she'd be everywhere. Because a lot of people in the media were afraid to touch this because she's, you know, a black woman and they want to be called racist or anything like this. And, I mean, Jimmy made fun of it Saturday night and saying that, and talking about the DEI stuff and saying that it's easy to say that she's a DEI hire, but it overlooks the corruption, the just blatant corruption in Philadelphia, which is really why she's there. It's not. Look, she made a mistake. It's no big deal, but that's the thing. She should just own it. I always say this, too. There's nothing better than when you can make fun of yourself. And she did a little bit of that when she said, all right, I couldn't spell, blah, blah, blah. But what she should have done today on the steps of City Hall or wherever she had that rally today, she should have come out and said, listen, Philadelphia, I'm not going to jinx us now. I'm very superstitious. So say it with me. E-L-G-L-E-S. I'm not taking any chances here, people. I hate Taylor Swift as much as you do. She'd be everywhere. She'd be an instant national sensation if she doubled down on it. made a joke about it, held up an ELGLES sweatshirt, had an ELGLES cake, like just went all in and said, yup, I spelled it wrong, but I'm going to keep spelling it wrong till we get to the Super Bowl and we win. Because I can't have anybody blame it on me that I somehow caused the Eagles to lose. And it wasn't because of the refs. It was me. That's what I would do. Absolutely, 100%. And she's got this opportunity because she's the mayor of the city where one of the two teams going to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I saw all these people on TV talking about the game, sports announcers and other people like that. Bring the mayor on and make a joke out of it and then make a bet with the Kansas City mayor, whatever the dumb joke is, you know, or trade your ribs for cheesesteaks or whatever the dumb thing is that we do. And then I own it. Get an Eagles Wawa hoagie tray spelled in hoagies, ELGLES, in hoagies. Okay? I'm not joking about this. This is what good politicians do. Good politicians own this kind of stuff. I'm not joking. You own it. You double down on it. Like, you know, who? I'll give you a great example. Do you remember the time Trump came out and tweeted out the word coffeef? And nobody knew what the hell he was talking about. Like, nobody knew what that was. We didn't know if it was a code for something. Remember that? And he still jokes about that to this day. He like self-deprecating humor really does go a long way, especially when you are a person in power. And I know that she did a little bit of that in the correct chant today. So let's hear both the chants again side by side. So let's start with her spelling it wrong, Matt, and then let's hear her spelling it correctly today and then ruining our chances in the Super Bowl. But here she is spelling it wrong. Go ahead.
Let me hear you all say E-L-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
All right, and here's her spelling it correctly today.
We are Super Bowl bound, baby.
No. It's you get an F in the Zioli political masterclass, and trust me on this. I've had some very impressive clients. Not naming names. Trump. Oof. That's the reaction from the staph infection. Sometimes you get a cough. I've had some very successful clients in my day, and all I'm saying is, you got to hang a lantern on your problems. Got to make a joke out of things. Double down on that. Big, big faux pas. All right. Moving on. J.D. Vance still gets an A in my book. Masterclass on handling the media over the weekend and their badgering of him on the deportations. And learn something from this now, because it takes a smart guy to, and I always say this to my, and J.D. Vance is not one of my clients, because I don't work with vice presidents. It's beneath me at this point, obviously. Duh, but so step backwards, clearly. But he doesn't need me anyway. The guy's so good. Trump didn't need me either, but, you know, it didn't hurt. All I'm saying is this. One of the key things I always say is, don't answer the question the way they want you to answer the question, because they're asking the question in a very definitive way here, on purpose. Your job is to answer the question the way you want to answer the question, not the way they want you to answer the question. And a lot of people, many times, when the first time they do a TV interview, they're just so happy to be there. They don't know that. So they go into the situation, whether they're an author or their CEO or something, and they're just giddy about getting the opportunity to be on television. And then they wind up just saying what they think the interviewer wants them to say, and then they regret it. All right? That's why honestly, if you are ever in a position in life where you have a book to sell or you're going to be on TV for something, a crisis, take the time to get training. I don't do it these days. I just don't have the time. But there are good ones out there, and it's worth it. It's nothing better in my mind than doing that role playing in that situation. It just really preps you and prepares you and gets your mindset for the fact of it. Now, J.D. Vance is a law school, I mean, Ivy League law, you know, I mean, the guy's brilliant. But still, he's clearly gotten a lot better over the years, as everybody gets better, the more times you do something in life, right? Anyway, here's J.D. Vance shutting down Margaret Brennan, cut number 7.
Well, Margaret, I don't agree that all these immigrants or all these refugees have been properly vetted. In fact, we know that there are cases of people who allegedly were properly vetted and then were literally planning terrorist attacks on our country. That happened during the campaign, if you may remember. So clearly not all of these foreign nationals have been properly vetted.
But there are 30,000 people in the pipeline. And refugees.
But my primary concern as the vice president, Margaret, is to look after the American people. And now that we know that we have vetting problems with a lot of these refugee programs, we absolutely cannot unleash thousands of unvetted people into our country.
These people are not vetted. These people are vetted.
Just like the guy who planned a terrorist attack in Oklahoma a few months ago, he was allegedly properly vetted. And many people in the media and the Democratic Party said that he was properly vetted. Clearly he wasn't. Yeah. I don't want my children to share a neighborhood with people who are not properly vetted. And because I don't want it for my kids, I'm not going to force any other American citizens' kids to do that either.
No, and that was a very particular case. It wasn't clear if he was radicalized when he got here or while he was living here.
I don't really care, Margaret. I don't want that person in my country. And I think most Americans agree with me.
Boom. I don't really care, Margaret. I mean, that should be a shirt. I don't really care, Margaret. It's very, very close to, frankly, Scarlett, I don't give a damn. You know what I mean? It's like that close to it. That should be a slogan. That should be a shirt. Somebody make that shirt up. I really don't care, Margaret. I don't really care, Margaret. What is the exact line? Can you just back it up like 20 seconds or whatever that is? Is it, I really don't care, I don't really care? Let me hear one more time.
While he was living here.
I don't really care, Margaret. I don't want that person in my country.
I don't really care. First of all, every man in America is thinking the same thing. You tell a woman I don't really care? Dude, it's beast mode right there. That is freaking beast mode. That's number one. But number two, he's right. I don't care either. I don't want to chance it with some guy who's going to blow up my neighborhood. See, that's exactly what everybody's thinking too. I don't freaking care. I don't want to chance it with some guy who's going to blow up my neighborhood or kill my kids or kill my... I don't care. I don't care. Frankly, Margaret, I don't give a damn. Good for him. Excellent. Master level right there. Master level. So Sherelle Parker, F. J.D. Vance, A+. Okay? That's the difference. Parker should have owned it. And there be, she should come out today. She should have come out today at City Hall with a shirt on that says ELGLES. Double down on it, baby. That's what you do in those circumstances. And you become a legend. J.D. Vance, I don't really care, Margaret. Boom. That is the stuff of legend right there. That's the kind of stuff that after you hear somebody say that, you go, oh, God, I wish I'd said that. I wish I'd thought of that. Or you're watching that at home and you went, ooh, either your reaction was either one of two things. You either went, ooh, did he just say, I don't really care? And then like 2 seconds later, you went, yeah. Or you were like, yeah, damn right we don't care. I don't want to get blown up by a terrorist. Sorry. Call me crazy. Again, Margaret, would you invite that person to your Super Bowl party? Yes or no? Would you invite unvetted immigrants, whether they're Afghanistan or not, to your Super Bowl party? Yes or no, Margaret? J.D. Vance also said that regarding the U.S. Conference of Bishops, we're all worried about the humanitarian costs of immigration enforcement. This is what he said regarding that question on the same interview, cut number 8.
Let me just address this particular issue, Margaret, because as a practicing Catholic, I was actually heartbroken by that statement. And I think that the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops needs to actually look in the mirror a little bit and recognize that when they receive over $100 million to help resettle illegal immigrants, are they worried about humanitarian concerns or are they actually worried about their bottom line? We are going to enforce immigration law. We're going to protect the American people.
Yeah.
Donald Trump promised to do that. And I believe the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, if they're worried about the humanitarian costs of immigration enforcement, let them talk about the children who have been sex trafficked because of the wide open border of Joe Biden.
You personally
let them
support
talk about
them going
people like Lincoln
and
Riley
churches.
Who were brutally murdered. I support us doing law enforcement against violent criminals, whether they're illegal immigrants or anybody else, in a way that keeps us.
When did school become a sanctuary for criminals? I'm just curious. Like, does she ask that question of just regular law enforcement? Like, I give you an example, right? If there's a teacher, a history teacher, who's wanted for armed robbery. Like, do they have, they know the guy's in class teaching. Do they, like, are they not allowed to go in and arrest him at school? Is that a thing? I miss that. I really did. I miss that whole thing. Like, wait, you can't, I guess you can call the guy down to the principal's office and try to get him out of the, like, if my kids were in a class, hypothetically speaking, with a teacher who was wanted for armed robbery or anything else, leaving immigration out of it for a second, and they knew where the guy was and they wanted to take him in, I'd want him taken in. And if they were like, well, it might disrupt class, I'd be like, I don't really care, Margaret. I want the guy out of the classroom as soon as possible. Okay? He's a suspect in armed robbery. Might be a little crazy. I want him out of the kid's classroom, right? Well, it might disrupt the learning day. I don't really care, Margaret. In fact, that's just going to be my new thing going forward. Whenever anybody asks me anything, I'm just going to say, I don't really care, Margaret. I'm like, what? Even if it's a guy, I'm going to say that too. I don't care. I don't really care, Margaret. I don't care if it's a guy. And I'm going to say that like double. I'm going to say, I don't really care, Margaret. You guys can be like, my name's Jim. Like, I don't really care, Margaret. That's just going to be my thing going forward. It may become a new slogan of this show. And every time we get a listener email that's negative, which we get a lot, I'm going to just write back, I don't really care, Margaret. Like this guy last week sends a suggestion about the show. I'm just going to write back, I don't really care, Margaret. I'm going to do the show I'm going to do. You can, it doesn't matter. I'm incapable of doing any other kind of show. They've tried. They've tried. They stopped trying. They tried for years. They've strapped me down. They'd shock me with like the therapy. Like, you know what they had with Jim Brewer on when he was Goat Boy and they would shock him with that thing? They tried that on me too. They've given up. Given up. And they go, you could do this different. You could balance more local, less nat. You could take more caller. I don't really care, Margaret. I'm going to do the show I'm going to do that day. It doesn't matter. Well, the formula from the research indicates, I don't really care, Margaret. I'm going to do the show I'm going to do today. It doesn't matter. You know, you could have put some time into that and maybe prep that opening monologue. I don't really care, Margaret. I'm going to do the show I want to do today. That's just how it's going to be. I don't know another way to do this radio show, which is also now a wonderful streaming experience for your viewing pleasure, with not only my Eagles Green, E-L-G-L-E-S, but also my new haircut. And there will be no antibiotic injections on today's program. This has been marked an antibiotic injection-free zone, just for the record. J.D. Vance continuing with his masterclass, and if you don't like it, I don't really care, Margaret. You feel like I'm tired of this segment. I want Zioli to talk about something new. I don't really care, Margaret. Okay? I need you to isolate that, please. Matt, Justin, can't tell you two apart anymore. I need that isolated so I can have that at my disposal whenever I need it. Please. Can we do that?
Yeah.
I'll have it done in like 2 seconds.
Thank you. This makes me so happy. And if somebody doesn't like it, I don't really care, Margaret. Okay? Okay, good. J.D. Vance continuing with his masterclass. Bacon. How does bacon get to the grocery store? Suddenly now the media is all worried about bacon. Okay? Last week they were pro-pig. Now they're all worried about bacon. Cut number 9.
A lot of things that contributed to higher energy prices, and there was record oil and gas production.
Yes, Joe Biden did many terrible things to lead to an increase in prices. I agree, Margaret.
No, but all the things you experience at the grocery store are what people touch and feel. That's what you were talking about, bacon on the campaign trail.
Of course. of course.
Those things, when do consumers actually get to touch and feel a difference in their lives?
Well, but Margaret, how does bacon get to the grocery store? It comes on trucks that are fueled by diesel fuel. If the diesel is way too expensive, the bacon's going to become more expensive. How do we grow the bacon? Our farmers need energy to produce it. So if we lower energy prices, we are going to see lower prices for consumers. And that is what we're trying to fight for.
That's the goal. And I know that it's just something that's very, very difficult for people to get in their heads of how energy prices get passed on to the consumer. I get it. But it does get passed on to the consumer. Everything does. Everything gets passed on to us. So if you lower energy prices, if you do that, it will eventually bring down food costs. Yes, it will. 100%. There's no doubt about that. So anyway, there's other things I want to mention to you as well as we continue here on the show today. President Trump was asked the question about Anthony Fauci's security detail. He gave a classic answer to that. I'm going into that as well. But today, the actress Selena Gomez broke down over Trump's deportation raids, which have so far, Matt, how many criminals have been netted so far by the Trump administration? Do you have the numbers for us?
I don't have the total number, but I know that the Trump administration over the weekend was averaging something like 960 or something per day. The Biden administration was somewhere around the 310 mark, so three times as many.
All right. But the Biden administration also did deport criminals, just not as many. So did the Obama administration. This is nothing new. But nevertheless, we're having parties over this, tier parties, tearjerker parties, even though the people we're deporting are criminals. So again, I'm going to use a standard here for Selena Gomez. Selena, would you invite these people to your Super Bowl party? The people that Trump's supporting, would you invite them to your Super Bowl party? Yes or no? Very simple question. These are gang members. These are people who've been accused of rape and murder and all kinds of bad hombres here. And hombras, would you, I don't even know if that's a word, would you invite them to your Super Bowl party, Margaret? Yes, or Selena, yes or no? Because if not, then stop crying about it. Seriously. Take a listen. When we play it. Here we go.
I just wanted to say that I'm so sorry. All my people are getting attacked. The children. I don't understand. I'm so sorry. I wish I could do something, but I can't. I don't know what to do. I'll try everything, I promise.
I'm sorry. I hate to see a grown woman cry. I do. Every man does. Believe me, we do. It's our weakness. All right, guys? But not in this case. I don't really care, Margaret. But anyway, here's Tom Homan's response to Selena Gomez crying over the children. Take a listen.
I don't know if you've had a chance to see a video that has been going viral over the past hour or so. We're still working to clear it and show it. In fact, the Hollywood celebrity who posted it has now deleted it, I think because probably she faced a lot of backlash for it, noting even the New York Times and Fox News polls show that a majority of American respondents are in favor of deportations of criminals and gang members. She posted a video sobbing. She was crying in it. She said, "All my people are getting attacked," with the picture of a Mexican flag. Again, she has now taken that down. But what do you say to those who are out there saying that these are everyday people, these are families that are being attacked and dragged out of their homes? How do you respond to that?
I don't think we arrested any families. We've arrested public safety threats and national security threats, bottom line. And look, President Trump won the election on this one issue, securing our border and saving lives. This, what happened on our southern border last four is the biggest national security threat this country's seen, at least in my lifetime, because we got over 2 million known gotaways. We got a 600% increase in sex trafficking. We got a record number of terrorists crossing the border on the terrorist watch list. We have 250,000 Americans dying from fentanyl coming across the open border. We're going to do this job, and we're going to enforce the laws of this country. If they don't like it, then go to Congress and change the law. We're going to do this operational apology. We're going to make our community safer. We're going to save. Once we lock that border on continuous operation, you're going to see fentanyl deaths decrease, illegal alien crime decrease, sex trafficking decrease. It's just all for the good of this nation, and we're going to keep going. No apologies. We're moving forward.
And by the way, that's better for the children. Don't you think? I'm just saying. I'm throwing that out there. I think it's better for the children if we don't have fentanyl flooding our streets and literally killing our children. I think it's better for the children if they're not put into sex slavery or underage labor or just go missing. I think it's better for everybody involved, isn't it? Isn't it better if kids from other countries don't have to make that treacherous journey only to be turned around? Because they were given false hope that they could become U.S. citizens someday because the Biden said, come to America at one point or whatever he said. I mean, and then they die along the journey because it's such a treacherous journey to make, or they're given over to a coyote to bring them across the border, only to disappear. I mean, isn't it better for the children that we actually secure the border? Stephen Miller seems to think so. Also a very smart guy when it comes to owning the media. Stephen Miller, who was gone, goes back to actually the 2016 Trump campaign. Now the Deputy White House Chief of Staff. Speaking to the press simply about this question. Oh, and on the YouTube chat, by the way, in case you missed it, Selena Gomez, who's an actress. And Matt, what was the point you wanted to make about Selena Gomez?
Oh, I was just going to say that her performance in that video was better than the one she gave in Emilia Perez. Significantly better.
I didn't see Emilia Perez, but that's very funny.
So bad. It's so, so bad.
So the Best Actress Award for crying over illegal immigrant children being raided goes to Selena Gomez. Way better than your performance in Emilia Perez. And Kirk cut that mid-cry, by the way, for the good of the nation. He had mercy on all of our souls. Kirk, thank you for doing that. I don't think I could tolerate that much longer. I'm a child, the children. The only way that could have been better was if at the very, very end of that, somebody just said, frankly, Margaret, I don't give a damn. Just keep twisting it. All right, Stephen Miller. And what he said today regarding those kids who are missing and how many of them have already been found, and the fact that we're not going to stop. We're going to keep trying to find them. They've already found a lot of these kids. This is a big deal. It's a big deal to me personally. Look, I don't want any kids missing, whether they are illegal immigrant children or not. I want them to be found and accounted for. I think every thinking, rational human being wants that. So if these kids are being held by illegal immigrants, and you grab the illegal immigrants, that's a good thing for those kids. Because the ICE is going there to get them because they're criminals. That means the kids are being held by criminals. It's not that complicated here. Cut 16.
The world.
Is the department from Chicago that there are ICE agents that were turned away from a Southside elementary school earlier today. Is targeting of schools, targeting of things like this, something that the administration is comfortable with and will continue with?
I think the framing of the question is wrong. If there's a law enforcement activity that's taking place in the school, then that would be for the protection and defense of the child. As you know, there is a epidemic of child trafficking and labor trafficking in this country. When federal law enforcement officers are turned away from a school, it is the act of turning them away that endangers the lives and safety of children. We've seen, as you know, 500,000 children trafficked over a four-year period in the United States. This administration is going to investigate every instance of child trafficking, labor trafficking, sex trafficking, child smuggling, and all the attendant crimes involved in that. And our message to everyone in the country is to cooperate fully with Immigration and Customs Enforcement so that we can end the scourge of child trafficking and child abuse that has been endemic these last 4 years.
Well said. Well said and well done. Absolutely. All right. When we get back, I'm going to share with you what a Chicago councilwoman said today. President Trump is getting ready to speak to House GOP members. We got a lot more to go. We're just getting started here, even though we only have a half hour left. But Dr. Mike Veneria has been my family dentist now for many, many years. Mama Zioli first discovered him for us. And I'll tell you what, I think he's the best. He really is. He's a terrific guy. He cares about your smile, and he's going to do a great job for you. Whatever the issue is, complicated dental care, that is Dr. Mike's specialty. That's what he does. Whether it includes dental implants, and he's been known as the master of implant dentistry, that's Dr. Mike Veneria. So if you've had an estimate for complex dental work, get a second opinion with Dr. Mike and do it today. Just go to VeneriaDental.com. It's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike will give you the smile of your dreams, and we have so much to smile about. Am I right? Trump's America. The president's about to speak now. We'll grab some remarks for you when we get back. So much makes me happy. So make sure you show off that beautiful smile with the guy who other dentists refer their patients to for complicated dental work. That's my dentist, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zioli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Every white man owes President Trump a debt of gratitude for making us look good dancing to this song in particular. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. President Trump is speaking right now at Doral in Miami. We're going to jump in here for a few minutes and take a watch and listen. We're only on the air till 6 tonight, which is a bummer, but this is an important moment right now. The president is speaking where we have a Republican majority, and they're there to chart their vision this weekend. He's just kind of recapping a couple things. So I have just a second here to just let you know that the point of this is to get the agenda going. You know what I mean? Figure out where we go from here. He had a tremendous first week. I mean, the first week was like a freight train, right? What do we do? And he's joking about being allowed to run again. He's trolling the media on that. But that is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Here's President Trump. Take a listen here.
Nobody else is able to even contemplate using. We've gotten a lot of people elected with those teletown halls. We get on, we have 25, 30,000 people on just in a congressional area, and they win easy. It works for Elvis, the Beatles. And it doesn't work for anyone else, but it works for Trump. And we would have tremendous crowds on those calls. And I think we have, I'll bet we got 35, 40 people elected because of the teletown halls. But I did say to them, and I said, this is the greatest, the person that sort of has the rights to it. And he happens to be a great Republican. I said, this is the greatest invention. This thing is going to make a fortune. He said, no, it's not that good, actually, because it only works for you. He said, actually, sir, it only works for you. Because somebody else they're not picking up, so I'm honored to have that privilege, and I use it carefully. But we've done a lot of the teletown halls for people, and I don't think we've ever lost one, right? It's hard to lose one, even if you only get 5,000 or 6,000 people on a congressional race. But we've done them for states, we've done them for governors, and we've done them for senators, and we did a couple countrywide. I did a couple for myself countrywide. They're absolutely amazing, and we got the message out through that and lots of other means. We even got it out through TikTok. Has anyone ever heard of TikTok? I have a little bias toward TikTok right now. I have to tell you. So we won youth by the largest margin. No Republican. You know, we generally don't win youth. We won by 36 points. Can you imagine that? And I think TikTok had something to do. So pardon me if I'm a little bit, I became a little bit jaded toward TikTok, but we'll see what happens. We're going to have a lot of people bidding on it. And if we can save all that voice and all the jobs, and China won't be involved. You don't want China involved, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But over the past 7 days, my administration has been moving with urgency and historic speed to reverse every single disaster of the Biden administration. By the way, the guy was a disaster. Okay. You know, we want to be nice. Okay. And he's probably not listening right now because it's a little late. But, you know, I don't want him to listen. I don't want to say it. I feel badly. I was, you know, making the inauguration speech and I'm saying all the bad things. And he's sitting like right here. You know, I'm saying they were a horrible administration. They didn't know what they were doing. They were grossly incompetent. I got a guy sitting right next to me. It's not that easy to do. Even though he didn't understand what I was saying, he really did. And deliver on the mandate that we've been given by the American people. In a single week, I've taken over 350 executive actions. We've signed 300, and whoever heard of that one? And as I said in my inaugural address, the American decline is over. It's over. The golden age of America has officially begun, and I think that's a good thing for us to talk about, the golden age and the American dream. I think it's a good thing because people haven't been talking that way for a long period of time. On day one, I directed every member of my cabinet to marshal all powers at their disposal to defeat inflation and bring down the cost of daily life. And we're going to do that. You're going to see it starting to happen when we get going with the energy. The energy is going to, you know, brought everything up and it's going to bring everything down. I imposed a federal hiring freeze, a federal regulation freeze, a foreign aid freeze. A foreign aid freeze, isn't that right? We get tired of giving massive amounts of money to countries that hate us, don't we? And I created the new Department of Government Efficiency, and I think it's going to be very meaningful. I terminated the ridiculous and incredibly wasteful Green New Scam, one of the great scams in history.
Good.
Actually, isn't it 12 years up? They gave us 12 years to live, right? I think that we passed it, right?
Yes,
we're still around. Can you believe it? You know, the person that really came up with it is a person that never even took a course on the environment. Was a poor student, not a good student, didn't understand a lot, and she came up with this idea, and everybody all of a sudden started going, and then mainstream, you know, important Democrat leaders were starting, you know, they got sucked into it, and we've spent trillions of dollars on just, like, throwing it out the window. You could throw it out the window, you would have been better off. I withdrew from the one-sided Paris Climate Accord, and I canceled.
Good. Excellent.
It was so one-sided, you know. We had obligations, but Russia didn't, China didn't, other countries didn't. We played everything. We're going to lose $1 trillion over a short period of time on that. And we had to do everything. They didn't have to do anything. It was ridiculous. And I canceled the insane and very costly electric vehicle mandate. So you can buy a car of your choice. If you like gasoline, go have it. And if you like hybrids are doing well.
Ban EV car commercials. How about that?
We like electric. We like everything, but you have to have a right to buy everything. I withdrew from the World Health Organization, where we paid $500 million a year, and China paid just $39 million a year, despite a much larger population. How about that? So we're paying $500 million a year. China's paying $39 million a year. They have 1.4 billion people. We have nobody knows what we have. So many people came across the border. Nobody has any idea. I used to say like 325, but we really don't know. But we're going to know soon. We're going to know. And I tell you, our people are doing a fantastic job. Tom Holman and his staff are doing an incredible job getting the bad ones out. I declared a national energy emergency to unlock the liquid gold that's right under our feet, because we will drill, baby, drill. We're going to drill, baby, drill. It's going
drill,
to bring
baby,
down
drill.
Prices, and your energy costs are going to go way down, and that'll happen, I think, relatively quickly. I'm going to give fast environmental approval for anybody building a plant for electric generation, and anybody that invests more than $1 billion will get super rapid approval. Not that they have to wait for 9 years, 14 years, like I approved LNG plants in Louisiana. They were waiting for so many years. It wasn't Louisiana's fault. It was some people. They just wouldn't get them done. You've got a snail here, a tiny tree here, and I got it done in a matter of a few days. I actually got it done. It took them 14 years. I got it done in about 3 days. The people, as we called them, I'll never forget, I called them and I said, congratulations, you got your permit. What? They were so shell-shocked, they didn't know what the hell was happening. They're going to spend, and they spent about $16 billion on each plant, and they've been roaring since then. But we got them done in a matter of a few days.
That's the way it
should
be.
Over the past week, we've begun the largest deregulation campaign in history, far exceeding even the record-setting efforts in my first term. That was record-setting deregulation, and that was just as big as tax cuts as far as business and jobs were concerned, I'll tell you. I actually asked, you know, it's interesting because I actually asked some of the biggest businessmen in the country. I said, let me ask you, have you had the choice between the big tax cuts? You know, we cut it from 40% to 21%. We're going to cut it further. But we cut it down to 20. Everybody said that would be impossible. The people on the stage helped us with that one a lot. But I said, have you had your choice of that or the big deregulation cuts? What would you take? These are the guys that run the big companies, the big oil companies, the big companies of every kind. I said, would you take the big tax cut or the big cut in regulations? And I've never had anybody said they'll take the tax cut. They took the regulation cut. I'll bet I asked that question 100 times to 100 of the biggest people. They always, Tom, they always said, sir, we'll take the regulation.
Isn't that amazing?
You opened us up. You let us create all these jobs that we've all seen happen. So it was
the power
even
of cutting
bigger
regulation.
Than the big tax cut.
That's
I
great.
Also signed an order to end the weaponization of our government against the American people and investigate all abuses of power.
Thank God. Thank you, Mr. President.
And stop government censorship once and for all, and we brought back free speech to America. That's what happened. We're going to bring it back.
Quite a week.
We didn't have free speech. We didn't have free speech. I mean, I was investigated more than any human being in history. Alphonse Capone was a baby. Now, this was a serious killer, Scarface. You've all heard of Scarface. He had a scar for a reason. He didn't play games, but he was Scarface. Of course, nobody ever called him Scarface to his... to his face. They said, Al, you look great today. Guy had a scar that was like 2 inches thick that ran from here to here. They say, Al, you look fantastic. But Scarface was not investigated as much as your president was investigated. And it turned out to be a positive thing for me. Can you believe it? It turned out to be, we got a lot of votes. I think we got a lot of votes because they saw it was weaponization. It was a fight against a political opponent. I
helped.
Ordered the end to all of the lawless diversity, equity, and inclusion nonsense policies across the government and all across the private sector and the military. We got it. We're getting it out, and we've gotten it out pretty much. We did that in 1 week, and it wasn't that easy, but everybody wanted it. People that were strongly in favor of it, I thought, called me and said, thank God you got rid of that. That was so bad. It was so bad we hated it. We abolished 60 years of prejudice and hatred with the signing of one order, all approved by the Supreme Court of the United States. It was a big thing, and the United States has become a meritocracy again. We are a country that's based now on merit for success. Merit.
Good.
If you're good at what you do, you're going to go places. I made it the... And who would have thought that was going to happen? We didn't even talk about that one because I figured that one was going to be toughest to get. And so we are now, if you do a meritorious job, if you... do something where you've done just, you're just outstanding. You advance. And that's what it's about. It's about competition and it's about a lot of things. And the other becomes a very dangerous plateau. We were on that plateau too long. And it's one of the reasons that you saw very bad things happening with our country. I made it the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders. Male and female.
Which, by the way, I talked about last week on Fox News. Unfortunately, we are out of time for today. But keep the conversation going on X. Thank you for all your great YouTube comments today, especially the ones about my hair, at Rich Zeoli. And yes, if you want to go on Instagram, Zeoli Show, I commented on President Trump's executive orders on only two genders, saying this was a very, very smart move and a key reason why he won. Have a great rest of your night tonight. Let's go, Eagles. E-L-G-L-E-S. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.